All right, let's take our Bibles and open up to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I want to say that it's such a joy to be here, but I like to keep things real. That's me. You know, what you see is what you get. I love being that just that, you know, no surprises. You know, for instance, like, just in case you didn't know, I'm black. You know, I didn't want that to sneak up on you, you know. So you just keep everything honest. You're above board, you know. And I want to say that you've been under the preaching of Pastor Roach and now Brother Terry. Pastor Terry McGovern, you've been under some good preaching. And I really stand here, especially as I talk to him. I mean, even though I was his pastor at one time, he could easily be my pastor. Easily be my pastor. I could follow his leadership, listen to his preaching, see how God has worked in his life, and just the power of God in his life and on his family. It just does my heart good. And I know that you've been under some tremendous preaching of the Word of God. And so anytime I come, I says, man, how in the world can you follow a class act like that? You know, and God just reminded me, just be who you are and just go and give them what God gives to you. But I stand here with a sense of being a challenge to minister to a people of God who's doing a lot of things right. To see the participation that you come out to the services, that many of you are planning. Some have taken off work to be at the family camp. I mean, all of that's commendable. I believe in order to have a strong church, you got to have strong family. And you cannot have a strong family apart from the Word of God. And so we need to be free from distractions to where we can just be have a concentrated dose of the Word of God. I believe in preaching the Word of God. But Pastor McGovern, remember, every year our church reads through the Bible in 90 days. We call it our 90-day Bible layaway. You find you count the number of pages in your Bible. You divide it by 90 days, and we start on the 26th of September, and by the 24th of December, we will have completely read through our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, and we present our Bibles as a Christmas present to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. You know, my first year as being a saved man, the first Christmas as a saved man, I got saved in September, then December rolled around, and here it is, we're celebrating Christmas, and I'm celebrating Christmas as a saved man now. Not lost, but saved. And I said, man, what's up with this stuff here? Everybody's getting the presence of Jesus. I said, what's up with that? I mean, here it is, this Christmas time. We get one another presents. I said, where's it? I said, well, I'm going to give him a present. I'm going to read through the Word of God. Now, I did it in 30 days. You can read through the Bible in 30 days. It takes about 3 hours of reading. You know, no Star Trek, no none of your favorite programming, video games and all of that. You just invest that in reading the Word of God. And you can't get through it in 30 days. And I said, man, I'm glad I gave my Savior a birthday present. But that's the end. That was a major undertaking. I think the next time I'm going to just put it on layaway. And that's how I came up. That's how I came up with the 90-day layaway thing. So, and we're getting ready to do it again. I mean, I do it every year. I've been doing that for over 30 years. We read. I don't care where I am in my Bible reading. We take the Word of God and we read through it. My wife and I, we start in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation. But at any rate, I was just talking about the Word of God. It's able to build you up. And so, I commend the church for submitting themselves to the preacher as he preaches the Word of God. And this family camp, I think every church ought to have that time where people can come apart and just get ministered to the Word of God, because you don't know what you're going to face in the upcoming years and stuff like that. It's good to be prepared for that. But anyway, tonight I want to start a series. I really kind of started this morning and touched on it a little bit. We're going to be talking about the family, and that means each individual member of the family, come to this place where you're totally committed to Jesus Christ. Not just in word, but in truth. When we come to the house of God, you see, the church of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. You ought to be able to hear truth when you come here. And you should, if you're saved, you should be able to tolerate some truth. Amen? I mean, when you come to church, you ought to be expecting to hear some some truths right in your face. Amen. And you should be able to handle it. I can tell you, out of 39, this September will be 39 years since I've been saved, there's never been one time that I've been offended at the Word of God. Now, I can tell you what, I've been crushed by it. I've come to church, and I said, man, that sermon was just for me. How in the world did the pastor know I was going through this? And I'm talking about before he got out of his introduction, I was ready to hit the altar. Never been offended by the Word of God. If you're offended by the Word of God, there's something wrong with that. Something bad wrong with that. The Bible talks about because of the Word, they're by and by they're offended. That's in Matthew chapter 13. That's a lost person who's offended at the Word of God. And so I hope you come tonight hungry to hear from God, expecting to hear from God. And remember, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. And so when God gets on your case, it's not because he hates you. It's because he loves you. And if God hadn't corrected something in your life in a long period of time, I would stop and say, Lord, something's wrong. Something's wrong because I'm just not that perfect. And some of you out there going, yeah, I am. I'm like, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, our heart has a way of deceiving us. And the Word of God has a way of penetrating all of that deception and begin to show us what we're really like. To what purpose? To do something about it. And so tonight, as we're looking at this thing of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I want us to look at verses 14 and 15 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 14 and 15. And I always like to reverence God's word. Amen. You know, sometimes preachers say, well, let's stand so we can stretch. Well, that's a side benefit. I said, let's stand and give honor to God's word. Show our respect and our appreciation for the word of God. I mean, certainly, as our dear brother talked about, serving God is a privilege and an honor. I mean, standing up to read just to read the word of God, I mean, that's no real big deal. I mean, let's stand up and let's reverence God's word and thank God from the bottom of our heart that we have the word of God to us in our language, that his will is not hidden from us, that we can know what thus saith the Lord God. And I thank you for standing tonight. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, get this, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us tonight to truly live for our Savior, who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own precious blood. Lord God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that revival will break out in me and this church. Lord, that we'll be lit up, and as folks see this great light here in Anchorage, Lord, that they'll be drawn to this church to see what's going on, and they'll see that Jesus Christ has the preeminence, that Jesus Christ is blessing folks, and Lord God, that they're happy. And I pray, Lord God, that folks will get saved. Now, Lord, I pray that you be with the young people. Lord, help them to see that they count too. And Lord, that it's not all up to their parents and their adults, but it's up to them as well. Now, Lord, meet with us, bless, and that we do pray as always. If there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord God, for Christ's sake, before it's eternally too late, that you will speak to their heart, that they'll see their need, and that they'll respond to the gospel. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When we look at this above this verse up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 15, when the Bible says, and that he died for all, get this, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'm so thankful that our God is a henceforth God. Amen. Aren't you glad that he doesn't give up on you? Aren't you glad that you can start afresh and anew with him every day? I don't care what you were like in the past. I don't care what type of Christian you've been in the past. You do not have to stay that way henceforth. Amen. I tell you what, I've been saved for 39 years. And one brother was talking about being lost so he can get saved all over again. But you know something, once you are saved, you can't get lost. You can't do it over again. You get saved one time and that's it. The right way. And of course, you can lose the joy of your salvation. There have been times in my life I wished I could have started all over again. And God says, with me, you can. That word, henceforth. Amen. I don't care what you've been in the past. Henceforth, you can live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is that some type of lofty idea that the Apostle Paul was just saying, you know, some philosophical thought? That, man, that just sounds nice, and I just kind of threw it in there. It sounds nice, but God really not expecting for you to really live for him from henceforth. No, God does. You see, God wants us to understand something. Every one of us needs to understand something tonight, that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says for us to glorify him in our bodies and in our spirit, which are God. We belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe that tonight? If you say tonight, you believe until you belong to Jesus. It's not your life. It's his life being lived out through you. Amen. For us to be in Christ places us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For Christ to be in us puts him down on the earth carrying on his ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. What would Jesus Christ be doing right now if he was down on the earth? He'll be telling folks of his saving grace. Amen. But rather than him coming and doing it, he has sent us out, and we'll get to later on in the week, as his ambassadors to tell folks about it. Amen. And it's found right here in this passage of Scripture. We're going to be talking about how to get to this idea. Now, this is an idea. Now, you have to understand, we preachers, we are not perfect vessels. We are imperfect vessels with a perfect truth. And sometimes you would try to judge the truth by the vessel. But no, the truth is the truth regardless of the vessel. And so we come up here, even though we have made mistakes, we made bad decisions, bad choices, we still have a perfect word of God to preach unto God's people, and God still expects us to abide by what we hear from the preaching of the word of God. Amen. I want to let you know tonight that if you're saved, there's not one Christian here tonight that's exempt from the message. Amen. I know how it is when you come to church. Go, man, I wish Joe had been here. He needed that. I see that elbow Christianity. You know, especially with husband and wives. Preacher gets preaching on the point, and then, man, I'll see folks go. You know what they're saying? See, that's for you. And some try to get real sneaky. They go, I still see it. It's like, man, that's for you. We had to throw it over Christian, throw back Christianity. Now, that message for you, man. What about you? What about me? That's a message for you, too. Amen. What we need to be doing is going like that. That's for me. Was Paul really just kidding when he was talking about this thing to where we come to a point? Now, listen, I don't believe God's called everybody to be a preacher. But he's called everybody to preach. He's called us all to be his ambassador. I don't care how young you are. If you're saved, you're old enough to tell someone your testimony, how you came to the saving knowledge of Christ. I remember in our Christian school, we had a little five-year-old, a K-5er. Her name was Hannah Weeby. Little Hannah Weeby got saved. And boy, she caught fire for the Lord. She had, man, she would corner those classmates of hers. Do you have Jesus? You don't have Jesus? Come on, let's go talk to my teacher. And they're going to introduce you to Jesus. Amen. Little soul winner, 5 years old. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, every single born-again believer tonight, you have been called, and I have been called to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God expects for us to live for him. Did Paul really mean that? Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want to hear those pages turning or that rip or ding. Okay? Some of you, you're on board. You know what I'm talking about. I heard a little ding. Okay, that worked. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Now, this is what Paul has to say about himself. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 20 and 21. Are you there? All right, good. Do a grunt or something, okay? Here it goes in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be, get this, magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Now get this, for to me, he's like, I don't care about you, I don't know about you, but for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul, I think, lived out that message. I mean, the sermon that you preach, it still will preach, Pastor, about Paul's purpose for living. Man, it still works. I mean, Paul, his whole purpose for being on the planet was to see folks saved and established in the faith. See folks saved and established in the faith. He writes in Romans chapter 1, he says, for I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to the end, you may be established. Established in what? In the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here tonight, we ought to be living for that purpose, to see folks saved and established in the faith. Amen. You know, if we did that, there'd be less belly aching in the church. If we did that, there'd be less gossip in the church. Amen. Man, when you see, look, people come in, I love to see these little, man, that's our future I'm looking at right there, those little people. Man, I want to come alongside parents and help them. Rear their children. I mean, I know mom and dad, that's God's given responsibility to them to do it. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a good brother, amen. I'm like just having a good uncle, amen. To come alongside them and help nurture them in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord, amen. I don't overlook children because that's the future, amen. Jesus died for them too, amen, didn't he? Amen. And so, we're supposed to be living this life to where we are totally committed to Christ. I don't care if you are a doctor, you are a total committed doctor to Jesus Christ, and that doctrine and that money that you get from being a doctor is just to furnish your ministry and the ministry of your church. Amen. That's good preaching. You know something? You can't take money with you to heaven. You take our girl Oprah. With all this money she's got, I would love to talk to her. I'll never get a chance to talk to her. I would say, Oprah, you know, you're going to die one day, and then what's going to happen to all that money? So you're going to leave it back here. And Oprah, where are you going to spend eternity? I'll just get right in her face and just talk about something that's really important. But you know, money's just to be used of God, for God, amen. I believe that God intends for every single believer to get to this place where we will say, God, for to me, it's really in my spirit and in my soul, for to me to live is Jesus Christ. Amen. And be the best Christian doctor, the best Christian lawyer, the best Christian teacher, the best Christian welder, the best Christian fisherman, the best whatever your hand finds to do. Do it all by might, but never forget that you are a Christian, that you are saved by the grace of God, and you are his ambassador to speak for him. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. Amen. I know it's good stuff because this is what the Word of God says. That no man henceforth live unto himself. That is, the life that we live, we don't live it unto ourselves. Now, it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Sometimes we do it, we don't even realize we're doing it. So what you living for? I mean, that was the time of my life when I was lost. I was a paper boy. You're talking about just foolish, man. I collect money from my paper route and I give me some money and I said, man, I'm going to Whataburger. Back in the day when Whataburger came out, they had some real burgers, man, bigger than your face. I'd get one of those Whataburgers, and I would pray, God, please don't let me die until I finish this Whataburger. What are you living for, man? This next bite, you know? I mean, it's so easy to do, man. We do stuff, you know, what are you living for? You know, some folks, they find out, well, I got to die. Well, I'm going to die. Well, let me go skydiving. I'm like, well, you might die sooner. I'm going to get it all in, you know. And it's sad to say, many of God's people just trying to get it all in. And God said, listen, when you've done all of this, you've eaten all the hamburgers and you've done all the daredevil stuff, and what good is it when you go to the grave and then you stand before your Savior and give an account for your life? We're going to cover that stuff during this week. We're talking about climbing the mount. There's 7 steps. Hopefully we can get through 2 steps tonight. Climbing this mount to where you say, you know something? Oh, God, thank you for this day of life. God, give me wisdom, Lord, just to carry out your will today. Lord, give me the strength to do it. God, give me the courage to face it. And Lord, put people in my path that needs you. We get all excited when we meet another Christian. But you know, we ought to get excited when we meet lost people. Because they are potential Christians. Amen. You can lead them to the Lord. I'm like, man, put me around a whole bunch of lost people. Because my chances of leading someone to Christ is going to be a whole lot greater than you put me around a whole bunch of saved people. And then some of the saved people you run into, man, you say, man, I wish you was lost so you can get saved, you know. I don't know what to do with you. If you're lost, I know what to do. But if you claim to be saved, but I just don't believe it. You ever run into so-called Christians that way? I know I have. I'm just being honest, keeping it real. What will it take for us to come to this point and say, Lord God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for sustaining me. Now, God, what do you want from me? Remember the Apostle Paul? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Remember that? He didn't just ask that and then went on about his business. He asked that and began to pursue God's business. What will it take for us to get to this point? I'm talking about every single believer from the youngest to the oldest. We're going to cover 7 steps, but hopefully we'll cover 2 tonight. The first step we find here is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you there? The first step, you cannot even begin to have this life of total commitment to Christ until you have been converted unto Jesus Christ. Notice this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. We're talking about the conversion that changes us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that when God saved you, he has a plan for you to be conformed into the image of himself. And when God's done with all of us, we're all going to look like Jesus Christ when he's all done. In Romans chapter 8, turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but turn to Romans chapter 8. I want you to understand something. That God's working in your life. And he's working in your life for a purpose and towards a purpose. In Romans chapter 8, and we want to start at verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Did you get that? Did you get that? It didn't say all things in themselves are good. It says all things work together for good. It's just like baking a pie, an apple pie. You take an apple pie, you have a whole bunch of sugar. At least I like a whole bunch of sugar. Whole bunch of sugar, you have some butter. You have the flour. Flour by itself just don't get it. When was the last time you bought a box of flour and just reached in there? Stop putting flour in your mouth. But you know something? When you put it together with some milk and some other stuff, you make a dough, right? And pretend like you know what I'm talking about. Pie, dough, okay? You get the apples, you get the sugar. Then you get something known as cinnamon. Cinnamon by itself. Just don't get it for me. It just don't work. That dog won't hunt. You just get you a stick of cinnamon and go around crunching off a stick of cinnamon. No, eat some more. Cinnamon by itself doesn't taste all that good. But it's amazing when you take a little touch of it and put it in that ingredients for that pie, it brings the flavor out. Same thing with salt. You take a touch of salt, you don't take a whole bunch. Take a touch of salt, you throw it in there, and that brings some flavor out. But a whole bunch of sugar. In life, God says, all things work together for good to them that love God. So God gives us, he gives us a whole bunch of sugar. Amen. God's been good to us. Amen. He's been very good to us. He didn't give us a whole bunch of cinnamon now. We may get a little touch of it. Paul talked about I reckon that the suffering of this life cannot be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us in Christ Jesus. I mean, God's been good to me. Have I had some cinnamon? Yes. Have I had some salt? Yes. Amen. But I've had a whole bunch of sugar. Amen. I'm a sugar worm. He said, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice right here. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And it's good for us to concentrate on the eternal purpose of God, and that is to get glory from his creation. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, we are here for God. God's not here for us. We are here for God. We're here to bring pleasure to our Heavenly Father, which created us all. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. These guys that get the predestination, they get it all whacked out outside of the context of the scripture. What would he have been predestinated? The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to do what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might bring that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't you know that all the pressures that are placed upon us in life, whether the good times and the bad times, thank God for the good times. And even thank God for the bad times, because the bad times helps us to be conformed into the image of Christ. Don't you know that in all of us, Paul said that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing? Don't you know that there's some stuff in me that I don't even know about until the pressure's put on? The pressure doesn't put it in you, the pressure brings it out of you. Right? And man, just when I think I'm doing good, just when I think, man, I'm a pretty good Christian, God allows something else to squeeze me. And then that comes out, I go, whoa, where'd that come from? It came from you. Oh, what'd I do with it? Confess it and forsake it. Okay, Lord. All of this is to conform us into the image of God's Son. But before that takes place, conversion has to happen. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 5. I want you to notice something. We're going to talk about this first step towards climbing the mount of total commitment to serve Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I want you to know several things about this change. First of all, the declaration of the change. He says, if any man be in Christ, I want you to know that this is all-inclusive to everyone and anyone who comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These folks that try to fool me and try to fool God, you may fool me, but you won't fool God. These people say, well, I got saved, but there's no change in me. I'm saying, you need to check your salvation, because God says in his word, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, who do you think I'm going to believe, you or God? I'm going to believe God. Amen? These folks that, man, you know, we sing that song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. When I was back in the church, I got saved there, and I had the youth group, had the teen group, and we used to sing this song, there's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't do them anymore. You know something, I tell you what, God saved my soul. I came out of that pastor's office a changed man. And I was so changed that I didn't realize I had stopped cursing until I cursed again. I know you don't have that problem. I know you don't. Man, I used to curse not like a seller. Where's my seller friend in here? Where's my seller? Where's the seller at? The seller's not in here tonight. There's somebody. There we go. They said, you curse like a sailor. I said, no, I curse like an Air Force person, man. I had been saved for 2 weeks, didn't realize that God had worked in my life and stopped me from doing something until I did it again. And I was working in my unit, crank grinders, a little ratchet, man, just going like that. And then something happened. I went, boop, boop, boop. I hurt myself for the first time. I was like, oh, my soul. You said something. It just sounded like something was wrong with that. That night, you know, I was a baby Christian. I didn't know you could pray anytime. I thought you had to wait at night till you sum up everything, you know, like some of you. So that night I was down there, and I was summing up all the stuff that day, you know. I learned it's better to do it as it happens, so that way you have to spend so much time down there, you know. I said, God, I said something today, and it sounded awful. And Lord, I need help. That week, I came to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. 28 and 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm reading that in Ephesians, and man, I almost came through my skin. I said, that's what makes cursing wrong. I said, Lord, help me with this, because I was just in such a habit of doing it. And maybe some of you, you know, hey, I know how it is, man, that, you know, that flash cries is up, and the next thing you know, you go, boop, 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 boop. The Lord changed that in my life. The Lord changed a whole bunch of stuff in my life. Man, from dancing, I could cut a rug, man. Moonwalking, break dancing, all of that stuff, man, the boogaloo, mashed potatoes. I mean, I could get with it. I dance for the wrong reason. I said, you can be ugly, but if you can dance good, man, chicks will come to you. I was good at it, man. I won trophies and stuff like that. And I'm talking about this change that comes over you when you truly get saved. I'm in that AIDS shop, and in the AIDS shop, they would have the radio blasting. Man, they would have all sorts of music come on, sometimes country and western. You know, man, my thing was the soul of the 70s. Commodores. Where's my black bass? Oh, just me and you, hon. We're swimming along. Commodores. They had this one tune called Brick House. And man, when that came on, something came over me. I don't care what I was doing. I throw the tools down, and there were Willie Bird strutting across the floor, man, acting like a fool, man. I remember I threw my tools out one time and started cutting the little number, and God spoke to my heart and said, hey! I mean, I hear no audio voices, but in my head, it's like, hey, you can't do that and be effective in communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, help me. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The declaration of the change. God says, if any man be in Christ, this is all inclusive. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there are no exceptions. If you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Amen. You are a new man. You have been placed in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. You are a new creature, and you have now, get this, so important, you have now two natures. One nature after Adam. Paul calls that the flesh. He says, for I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And Paul understood this struggle. He says, you know something with this old man? The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. He writes over in Galatians. Turn to Galatians right quick. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Beloved, I was so glad when God showed me this. You know, man, here it is, you get saved, and then you rejoice in the Lord and all of that, and then the next thing you know, you fall into sin. You wonder, man, what's going on here? And then you have all these wrong desires. What's going on with that? And God showed me, well, it's nothing more than your new man trying to take rule again. I mean, your old man trying to take rule again. In Galatians chapter 5, are you there? All right, get this, watch this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want you to understand what the Word of God says. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill. It didn't say you won't have. It didn't say you won't have. It said you won't fulfill it if you're walking in the Spirit. Amen. You're going to have it. God wants you to overcome it. Amen. Some Christians are talking about, well, God took away this from me, but he didn't take that away from me. I'm like, man, there's certain music. I got to stay away from it. I have to purposely abstain from it because it makes me want to do things. I'm just keeping it real. There's certain places I'm just not going to go. So, oh, you're a chicken. I said, well, you know something? I'd rather be a chicken than to displease my Lord. Amen. Remember that? That joint on the main street, I think it was called Desperados or something like that. I told my church member, I said, listen, if my car breaks down in front of that place, I'm going to do all I can to push it away from that place. Because I know if you drive by and say, isn't that Pastor Burr's car? Yeah. I wonder why it's parked outside. I bet he's in there having a drink. And people love catching the pastor. I said, if you see me out there pushing my car, don't criticize me. Get out there and help me push. I mean, there's certain places I don't go because I might fall into sin. Amen. Abstain from fleshly lust that wars against the soul. Amen. We still have these two natures. You are a new creature. One is after Adam, that Adamic nature. One is after Jesus Christ, that cannot sin. Amen. That don't even want to sin. Amen. But this other one after Adam, every chance it gets, it wants to sin. I'm here to tell you tonight, that's why certain television programs, just leave it alone. Hey, sometimes it's good just to turn off the television. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Because that stuff is custom made for the flesh. And those that are in the flesh cannot please God, my Bible says. I'm just saying that when you are in Christ, you have two natures now, one after Christ, one after the seed of the serpent. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:17, let's look at it. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Get this. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You know something? When you have this war going on, here it is, you got this war going on all day. Then sometimes you get up with it. Have you ever gotten up just grouchy? I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. I know you never get grouchy. I know you're just so nice to live with all the time until I talk to your spouse, right? Man, some days I wake up just, man, mad with everybody. No reason. It's just that flesh, battling that flesh. Then, when it comes time for you to witness to someone, man, that flesh is battling against that spirit. You know you need to witness to it, but then you don't do it. Why? Because the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another so that you cannot do the things that you would. Man, if you grab a hold of that, it will cause you to want to walk in the spirit a whole lot more often than you do. You are a new creature in Christ. He's a new man. You have a new nature that's after Jesus Christ. God tells us that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. You guys remember reading that? Yes? I pretend like you have. Okay, just give me the nod. Okay. He says, you know, put you on the new man, which is created after true holiness and righteousness is in Jesus Christ. It's putting on him. Now notice, he says, put off, not cover up. You see, sometimes we try to put on the new man without putting off the old man. The only thing we're doing is kind of covering it up. No, we're going to put it off. We're going to talk about that later on this week on how to get victory over that old man. We've got to crucify him. But at any rate, we become a new creature in Christ. This is the declaration. The declaration is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And as a result, what happens? Several things happen. One is we get a new daddy. Amen. God becomes your father, not just your creator. He is your daddy in heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a great daddy in heaven? Amen. We can call him Abba Father. Amen. We can call him daddy. Amen. We get a new daddy. We get a new destination. We have a new diet. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I never had a hunger for the word of God until I got saved. Amen. Hey, just remember when you got saved, how the word of God was just spilling to your soul every time you open up the book. You guys remember that? Well, I remember it. My pastor, Don Nehemiah, he said, Willie, you need to know what you have now. He said, I want you to start reading in the Gospel of John. He said, once you finish reading the Gospel of John, I want you to go back and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and read John again, then read through the New Testament. I said, well, if I'm going to do that, I need to have my own personal Bible. You see, up to that time, you know, I had a family Bible. It's one of these big ones. You guys, any of those got those big family Bibles? Well, I had a big family Bible. I never read it. I just used it for furniture. Folks would come in, they see the Bible, they go, that's a nice Bible. I go, yeah. Never read it, you know. But now that I'm saved, I need to read the Bible. And I just did not want to take that big old Bible to work. So I said to myself, okay, when lunch hour hits tomorrow, which is a Monday, the 12th of September, I'm going to use my lunch hour to go and get me a Bible. If you ask God to give me the truth, I tore out of the back gate of Doolittle at Beale Air Force Base, made it into Yuba City, went to Kmart. During that time, Kmart was closed on a Sunday. So I had to wait till that Monday. I got in there, went in there, found me a little black zip-up King James Bible, cost me $4.58. I could not believe that I had the Word of God in my hands for $4.58. Man, I made it back to work, had 15 minutes left of my lunch hour, opened up to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I went, pow! Jesus is God! I never knew that before. By Him was all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's what Jesus made the world. I didn't know that. Got down to John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I said, man, that's Jesus. Man, I started, God began to reveal unto me whom Jesus Christ is, the Son of God and God the Son. Amen. That night in John chapter 17, I'm reading in my Bible. My head is exploding with information. I get to John chapter 17 where Jesus said, I pray not for these only, but for them that will believe on me through their word. I said, that's me. And I cried like a baby. On a Monday night, September 12th, 1977. Man, you couldn't tear me away from that book. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. You know something? You get a new diet, man. Nothing else will substitute. Nothing else will substitute. Man, good is the word of the Lord. Good is the word of the Lord. Good is the word of the Lord. Amen. I love it. I love preaching it. I love hearing it. Preach it. I just love the word of God. What about you? If you're born again into God's family, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I tell you what, I fell in love with Don Niemeyer. He was the pastor preaching the word of God. Had a missionary come over. First missionary that I ever heard speak, Dan Carruthers, he was going to Chile. Man, I fell in love with him because he was preaching the word of God. I love men of God that preaches the word of God. I love you, brother. Keep on preaching. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He has a new daddy. He has a new destination, man. We're on our way to heaven. He has a new diet. He has a new duty. And he has a new desire. Paul writes over there in 1 Thessalonians, he says, furthermore, I beseech you, he talked about how that we ought to please God, and I have a desire to please God. All of that came with the new birth. But now, the dynamics of the change. You see, we have the declaration of the change, but how is this change accomplished? What happens is Jesus Christ comes into you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God and takes up residence in your body. Amen. Don't you know that if you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you? Well, when you give me that look, I said, let's go take a look then. Let's turn to Romans. You guys are going to make this message longer now. Let's see, Romans. What did I give you? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's see if we can get down here where it talks about. Here we go. Romans chapter 8. And let's start at verse 5. Are you there? Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, get this, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, get this, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must have the Holy Spirit of God in you to be saved. I'm here to tell you, Paul says, grieve not the Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can't drive him out. You can quench him, and you can grieve him. But he said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, Christian, tonight, I don't care what you've done. If you're in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. Listen, you're saved. You may not enjoy your salvation because of sin, But that doesn't mean that you're not saved. You're saved because of the Holy Spirit of God in you. And praise God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And so, we're talking about this dynamic. What happens is Christ comes in you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we say that we receive Christ. He comes in the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We receive him. And what happens is he begins immediately working in your life, working on areas of your life that needs working on. For me, it was that dancing and cursing stuff. All right? For others, it's a vicious tongue. For others, man, it's a spirit of malice and anger. And God tells us to put all anger and malice and evil speaking away from you. Amen. I'm just talking about, listen, for us to come to this place where we say, God, I'm totally committed to you, it first begins with a real, genuine conversion in Jesus Christ. Not with a prayer, but by faith in a person. His name is Jesus. And his work, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again from the dead. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have two natures because of Jesus Christ coming in. And I'm going to finish up this last point. We got the rest of the week to get some of this stuff in. We have the declaration of the change, the dynamics of the change, but what about the duration of the change? How long does this go on? Well, Philippians chapter 1. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Well, let's start in verse 3 and we get down to verse 6. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And that's really how I feel towards your preacher and his precious family. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Pastor McGovern, I want to let you know that every time I think about you and Mary Ann, joy comes to my soul. When there are times in my life when I feel like just thrown in the towel, your faces come to my mind. I said, I can't quit. Man, what's Terry going to say? And I know you would say, hey, get up. Let's go at it again. And I wouldn't need that. If I ever call you and say, I'm thinking about quitting, I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, hey, you better not quit. Right? But hopefully you'll never get that call from me. Amen. And if I got that call from you, I'm going to say, hey, brother, you come too far to quit. If it means flying down here, I would fly down here and say, all right, what do you need, brother? Amen, I'm here for you. And so for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you tonight, the word of God says tonight, if you're saved, listen, God will not leave you alone. He always sends someone into your life. And you call it, well, you're pestering me. Don't preach to me. That's exactly what you need. Amen. There'll always be a pastor McGovern in your face telling you the word of God. Amen. God will not leave his children alone. If you're saved tonight, you may be backslidden, but you'll always hear somebody firing a message towards you. You might turn on the radio. You're running to someone. You go, oh, man, there he goes again. That's God saying, listen, as men as I love, I rebuke and I chase. Now, you come on back home. Amen. God will not leave you alone. He will work on you, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You're looking at 38 years, almost 39 years of God working on me, through me. Amen. Amen. He will not leave me alone. I'm just plain old out scared to turn my back on God. I don't believe he'll let me get away with some stuff that he lets others get away with. Pastor, I believe, just like David, if I even think about it, man, his chasing hand is on me. You know, these other guys that get up there and turn their back on God and say, man, you're in some dangerous territory. I'm too scared. I'm too chicken. I don't care what you say. I'm chicken. Okay. Okay. Right. I'd rather be that way than to turn my back on my Savior. The duration of this change, God allows all these pressures to come into our lives. God allows these pleasures to come into our lives. To do what? To conform us to the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, we need pressure. We do. I know you don't want it, but we need it. Because it's that pressure, it's that squeezing. It's that squeezing in us that causes that stuff to rise up. And once we rise up, what does God want us to do? Acknowledge it. So, Lord God, I didn't even know that was in me. Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Lord God, purge me. That's what David prayed in Psalm 51. You clean me and I'll be clean. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Amen. Then when I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall come to repentance, you become a more effective soul winner as you put under the pressure. This stuff comes up. You confess it. Amen. And what happens is you become to look more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm told, I haven't done this, but I'm told that when they put gold through a purifying process, what they do is they heat it up under tremendous heat. And what happens is all the impurities of the gold rises up. It doesn't burn up the gold. What it does, it makes all the impurities surface up and come up to the top. And what happens is the goldsmith, he takes all of that scum and film off, let it cool down, heat it back up again, some more comes up, and he keeps on doing it. He keeps on doing it. He keeps on doing it till he can see his reflection in the gold. God will heat us up so that stuff will surface. We confess it as sin. We keep doing it. And next thing you know, we begin to look like Jesus. He begins to see his reflection in us. And that's what this conference is all about. It's not just for the moms and dads. It's not just for the children. It is for the family. It's for the church family. Amen. And as the church family gets heated up and as the church family gets right with God, we'll see a revival in this church. And it may spill over into this community. Wouldn't it be great if revival came from Anchorage? Wouldn't it be great? They said, man, you know something? It started in a little family camp meeting. And the next thing you know, this thing spread like wildfire. All because a people of God got right with God. You want America to get right? Let us get right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, it takes humility to admit when you're wrong. Amen. Amen. And will turn from their wicked way. Amen. He said, then what will happen? Then I'll hear from heaven. We're out here, oh God, please bless America. Please bless America. He said, well, what about Independent Baptist Church in Anchorage there? Well, what's that got to do with it? Everything. Is this your land? Well, yeah. Well, if you will humble yourself, amen, and pray, amen, and then turn from your wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and heal your land. You want America healed? Let it start at the house of God, amen. This is a good thing for your church. I hope to be used of God just to get you, just to provoke some thinking in your mind to the point that you'll come and say, you know something, Lord God, I want it. I want to serve you. I want to come to this place where I am totally committed unto you. So that when it's all said and done, you will say unto me, well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And we're going to be talking about some other things. Tonight, we just took one step. I wanted to take two, but we took one step tonight. You got to first be genuinely converted to Christ. Being converted to Christ is much more than saying a prayer. Being converted to Christ is really coming when you recognize that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and that Jesus is the only way, and that you place your faith and trust in this person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I close the message with an illustration? I was talking with a lady. Well, this is a true story. I was talking to a lady last year when I moved up to Charlotte. This young lady, 32 years of age, came up to visit my sister. My sister used to live in Charlotte. Well, my sister came to visit me, and this young lady came to visit her. As soon as she came through the door, my sister introduced her. This is my brother. He's a pastor and all of that. He's coming here to plant our church in Charlotte. And she was very respectful. And so as soon as she came through the door, I began to pray, Lord God, give me an open door. Lord God, give me an open door. And Lord, if you give me the green light, I'll go. And so the Lord gave me the green light. Her name is Catrice. I said, Catrice, could I ask you a question? She said, yes, sir, Pastor Byrd. I said, if you die tonight, are you 100% sure that you'll go to heaven? She said, oh, yes. I said, well, man, tell me about how did you come to this knowledge? Tell me about it. She said, then she gave me some real vague, lame, testimony. I don't even remember what she said. And then she said at the end of that, and I received Christ as my Savior. And I looked at her, and the Lord spoke to me, I said, ask her why. So I did. I said, Catrice, why would you do that? And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she looked at me. And she said, I don't know. I said, Catrice, what you get saved from? She said, I don't know. I said, Catrice, has there ever been a time in your life that you knew that you were on your way to hell? She says, oh, no. I said, Catrice, can I talk with you? Can I show you some stuff out of the Bible? I had to open up the Bible, and for 45 minutes, took her through the Romans Road and some other places, too. All of them led to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And so I told her, I said, Catrice, this is the problem. I said, people will not place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I said, let me show you, let me illustrate it. And I gave her an illustration that I heard a long time ago of this guy who was a daredevil, and his ad was walking across a high wire, and this time he's going to walk across a high wire, Niagara Falls, without a safety net. So he announced the time, the event, folks showed up, some showed up as supporters, some showed up to watch this guy fall to his death. And so he gets up there and he walks across Niagara Falls without a net. And the crowd erupts. Oh, you did it. You did it. He said, I'm not done yet. I'm going to walk back across Niagara Falls without a safety net with a chair. So he gets a chair. Some folks said, don't do it. Don't do it. Other folks, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So he takes the chair. He walks back across Niagara Falls. He gets to the other side. The crowd just erupts. He says, I'm not done yet. How many believe that I can walk back across Niagara Falls with a chair and someone sitting in it? Well, they all said, well, yeah, well, we've seen you do this thing three times. You can do it. He said, who'll be the first to get in the chair? His wife didn't get in the chair. His children didn't get in the chair. None of the folks that did the rigging got in the chair. Hey, nobody got in the chair, which was proof that they didn't believe he could do it. When it comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are people out there, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. He says, get in the chair. You can believe and say all you want to. I believe Jesus can save me, but until you get in the chair, you're still lost. Saving faith is you relying upon Jesus Christ and Him only to carry you to heaven, across the gulf of hell. Amen? And you know something? If you really have faith in Jesus Christ, you won't be trying to flinch every time a little gust of wind comes up. Because Jesus said, I got this. Amen. I got you. I got you. Oh, Jesus, you got to walk this way, Jesus. No, Jesus, no, I'm good at this. I'm a savior. Amen. I don't need your direction. I don't need your help. I just need you to trust me if you want to be saved. So it begins with a genuine conversion in Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for listening patiently. Listen. The Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are going to find it. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Well, what is the will of the Father? That they should believe on me. There are going to be people going to hell thinking they're going to heaven because they prayed a prayer. You're not saved by a prayer. You're saved by trusting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly relaxing, truly relying upon him for your salvation. It says about now as a close. Can you remember a day that you knew you were going to hell and that you believed on Jesus Christ to save your soul, that you believed that he died for you, that you believed that he rose again from the dead? You remember that day? You remember where you were? You ought to remember where you were. I was in the pastor's office on a Sunday after the preaching service. You ought to remember that vividly. You say, well, can you be saved and not know it? I don't think so. That's like being graduated and not knowing. Did you graduate from high school? Well, yes or no. And so, if you can remember that, if you can remember when you trusted Christ as your Savior, where you were, then would you slip your hand up, then I may rejoice with you. You know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Amen? You know that. You remember when and where you were. You ought to thank God. You got your hand up. You ought to say, God, thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, you can put your hands down. God bless you. A lot of hands were raised, but there might be some people here tonight. You simply could not raise your hand because the real truth of the matter is that you don't know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Listen, you can know. Jesus died for you, for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. And he rose again for your life and justification. And he said if you would believe on him, he would save your soul. In a few moments, the pastor is going to come and take charge of the invitation. You move as the Spirit of God moves upon your heart and do what God would have you to do. Pastor, would you come?